Ah, cities. Nothing quite like the city. The hustle and bustle, the people everywhere, commerce flowing, and the sheer number of random encounters someone could have basically anywhere. And I fucking hate it. Smog, the crowding, the number of people, the anxiety about the people crowding in smog. And I also hate that cities so often lack nature. That they're hot as fuck and are also a social justice nightmare. But, why do cities exist? What's the beneficial sides of cities? Can and will I get over my shit in order to do an episode? Let's find out on this episode of Why Aren't You Talking About This? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Wait At. I'm your host, William, and I will be your guide through the concrete jungle today. Please help me. But before we do that, I just want to thank you so much for listening. It means the world to me to have my voice blasting into your eardrums, even if it's because you're listening to avoid making small talk with people on the public bus. I get it. And also, before we move on, make sure to send the show to your friends, family, strangers that are trying to ignore you on the bus, rivals, enemies, and the U.S. government. Maybe not the last one. The more the show is shared, the more likely it is I can make this my full-time job. Speaking of which, I do have a little bit of, like, an announcement or change that I'm going to make a longer thing on and, like, fully explain it. Probably not too long after this episode goes up. But I am going to be doing production on the bonus episode soon, and that bonus episode will probably turn into what Wait Hat is going to be going forward. Now, if you have some anxiety about that or some fear that, like, I'm not going to be talking about current events anymore, I mean, one, you're, like, one of three people that believe that, and also, like, this year's been pretty fucking rough. We need to have a little bit of a break. So, again, I'll explain in a longer thing, but after this episode, Wait Hat's going to go into a bit of hiatus. We're still going to be calling things Wait Hat, but we're going to be doing other topics that are a bit lighter and have a lot less research involved and are things that are, like, consistently fun for me to look into. So, yeah, keep an ear out for that. In the meantime, keep supporting Winkashka on Twitch, and make sure to buy from Mystic Luna for all your sticker, charm, and jewelry needs. They're going to be at the Gladstone Spring Market in Northern Oregon this weekend, so make sure to check them out. Alright, let's get to the episode. Okay, so we should probably be specific to what we're talking about today, because we're not going to be talking about, like, cities in general. That's very broad. Instead, we're mostly going to be talking about, like, urbanization and urban spaces. So, what is urban? Well, besides the way that totally not racist white people say black, urban is a way to define human habitation. It's an area of human settlement with high infrastructure and population density, and the definition of what exactly that is changes from country to country, as what is considered urban in, say, Liechtenstein, is different than what urban is in China, as you might imagine. For the US, at least, urban is a territory or piece of land with a population of 50,000 or more that has at least one or more central place and densely settled surrounding areas. Outside of this definition, urban spaces in the US are generally described as incorporated or census areas with at least 2,500 densely packed residents. So in one definition, bigger than the entire nation of Liechtenstein, made up of a number of communities, or alternatively, you can be 2,500 people living in a few square miles. Urbanization, meanwhile, is the process of an area becoming urban through mass migration or the good old-fashioned fucking. Usually with an emphasis on it happening quickly. And urbanization includes all areas of land developed for use by the urban area, like transportation, power stations, water purification, and suburbs. But why does this happen? Why do cities grow like this? Well, there's a few reasons why. Firstly, and this is a personal theory, is that since humans are pack animals, we like to gather around other humans, because being alone is scary, so if all the people are gathering over there, then clearly that's the place to go, because that probably means it's safe. It's also around a lot of other people, which is usually safer against the outside. But personal theory aside, the biggest reasons are ease of access and job opportunities. Cities being concentrated centers of humanity have access to a wide variety of healthcare, dining and food, a wide variety of necessities and luxuries, and travel. Which, if you have a rare illness, you need to eat gluten-free and meat-free, are part of a religion requiring you to burn specifically lavender, chamomile, saffron, incense, or just like having access to cool stuff, cities are good places to get that. Added on to that, companies that pay rent in cities need to justify the rent they pay, meaning they want asses in seats. Which means if you find a position that's open you qualify for, you have a pretty good chance of getting it. And cities usually have a lot more job options available because, again, that whole thing about masses of humanity. And related to that, you tend to find higher salaries, which is why so many people commute from outside the city. Cities also have a lot of big events, lots of stuff to do, free places to go like libraries and parks, and plenty of entertainment and people to meet. Particularly, a lot of people with different cultures, values, and opinions, allowing you to diversify in a lot of ways, particularly in friend groups, romantic options, and business opportunities. And there's also plenty of paid things to do, like arenas, nightlife, restaurants, and shopping centers. And finally, public transit is usually pretty good and cheap compared to owning a car, having a license, or relying on more expensive and rural mass transit options. And sometimes you don't even have access to a mass transit option like an airport unless you're in a city. But there's also plenty of bad sides about cities. Like how cities create massive class segregation as they grow because costs increase. Basically, as a city grows, space comes at a premium, meaning that everything from groceries, eating out, to your apartment, to storing your car, to doing laundry, all costs you more money than suburbs or rural areas, which can price people out very fast. And this locks the working class out of participation in urban life, and rapid urbanization causes inequality to skyrocket. And you also have less space, meaning downsizing is almost always required, and you rarely have outdoor spaces, and most of your own personal space is whatever apartment you have. And even then, that might be pretty limited. Cities also have a lot of pollution. Less dangerously is the massive light and noise pollution. Cities are bright 24/7 and are noisy as fuck. From a combination of public lighting, people, vehicles, machines, buildings, some asshole recording podcasts, and some kind of shit always going down, you're never going to have true darkness and silence. Added on to that, you're also being poisoned. Because since cities are concentrations of mass humanity, the amount of human waste, runoff, garbage, greenhouse gases, and industrial waste and fluids is massive. Meaning that stuff is going to seep into the soil, concrete, and form a nice dome of smog above the city. So much so that there's some cities in the world that's as bad as smoking packs of cigarettes just walking down the street, just without the cool side effects. Now, also, if you really want to power move, smoke a cigarette while walking in those cities. And as you can imagine, this contributes to a lot of environmental damage, with a combination of massive deforestation, habitat loss, causing a reduction in biodiversity, and also disrupts life cycles and invites invasive species, especially from commuters and imports and exports. Oh, and if you thought the water table was safe, I got bad news, bucko. It's not. Because of the concrete, water runoff increases, which increases erosion, which then decreases local soil and water quality and changes the water cycle, which, if you didn't know, is a problem. And if that wasn't enough, cities are also heat sinks, oftentimes called heat islands, which means they produce a fuck ton of heat, because asphalt, concrete, and dark-colored materials that cities are normally built of, and also things like glass, absorb a lot of light and heat, which combined with greenhouse gases and blocking out wind from the tall buildings, makes the inside of cities fucking sweltering and way hotter than the outskirts and surrounding areas. And since biomes aren't in a bubble, the surrounding area also gets hotter, which increases the local temperature rapidly. Of course, the reality of cities is somewhere in the middle, as much as I don't want to admit it. Let's start with the economy. Because, well, yes, urban areas are centers of inequality and massively unnecessarily high costs, they're also a lot more economically productive than rural areas. The fast pace, constant working hours, and 24/7 activity, and large supply of resources and labor means that things you produce in cities are done faster and often at a lower cost than anywhere else. Also, since cities tend to be a centralized location of mass humanity, there is a lot more services available, particularly in the social services area. Granted, though, a lot of the work available that we were talking about on the pro side isn't usually consistent, and growth is very sporadic in random fields of study, meaning at any given time, large swaths of people aren't even in the job market. Environmentally, cities are absolutely awful for the environment. Between poor sanitation and healthcare, emissions, food waste, heat islands, reduced water quality and habitat damage, cities are just terrible for the environment and for your health. However, we've already been trying to address these things, and the stuff we've been doing are making cities greener and much healthier. So much so that people see cities as beneficial to control birth rates, and even as a way to heal the environment, because the more people that move to cities from rural areas reduces the damage done in rural areas to nature. And I want you to think about that for a second. Move away from rural areas to cities to save rural areas from over-farming. Over-farming caused by high population in places that can't do their own farming. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Okay, on the social and health side, there's a lot of misinformation. Because, no, cities don't increase quality of life or life expectancy, as you can probably imagine from the smog and chemicals everywhere. But it also doesn't significantly reduce it. But also, at the same time, cities don't make people go crazy or turn into apathetic monsters. Instead, while there's more access to healthcare, a lot of pollution and lifestyle diseases increase, like cancer and heart disease, and sicknesses pass around a lot easier. And things like asthma are on the rise in cities due to air pollution harming the lungs of children and young adults in urban places, and, you know, urban food is a lot less healthy, and food deserts are really, really common. And also, at the same time, crime tends to be a bit higher, which is because of high population density, because, you know, if you measure something per capita, the more people you have, the higher it goes. I mean, who would have known? Desperation, a lack of social cohesion, and constant emigration of people that have no connections or social network. And all of this heavily affects mental health, from a lack of movement, perceived insecurity and danger, a lack of social cohesion, and greater stress. And, you know, you have a recipe for mental illnesses to become a lot more dangerous and common. However, on the good end, again, very good access to healthcare, and also, people in cities aren't entirely apathetic. I mean, that is literally a myth. Like, people in cities tend to actually be, like, just as, like, concerned for their neighbors as anywhere else. It's just harder to get that connection in the first place because it's very hard to be socially cohesive when you all have shit to do and cities are incredibly busy. But also, cities tend to be havens for marginalized groups. And why is that? Well, because there's a lot of people, and so a good chunk will be in the same group as you, meaning you can more easily band together. It's also because cities tend to be a bit more liberal. So, look, overall, do I think cities are fun, and are they for me? No. Fuck no. But also, at the same time, if you like cities, I'm sure the pros in there heavily outweigh those cons. I mean, sure, not particularly healthy or social, but also, cities aren't like these havens of gangsters doing random drive-bys and shooting white suburban families like you see on TV. And they also tend to be pretty liberal and have a lot of shit to do. So, look, to me personally, a great place to visit, not really to live. So, let's go to the history section real quick before we talk more about cities being shitty. Alright, and our history section is very, very short today. And it's mostly doom hope posting. You know, where someone tells you everything is fucked and terrible, but that it'll get better. Yeah, I'm gonna be doing that. So, some of the earliest cities that we know of in the world were found in the Middle East, because that's one of the cradles of civilization, but there's probably cities of comparable age worldwide that just got, you know, burned down, or erased from history, or resettled, or all three. But why do they come about? Well, mostly as a way to organize, because as your village invents agriculture and basic medicine, your population tends to skyrocket, meaning you need to organize yourselves and specialize to keep things working. And it's easier to do that with a society and people in charge, and boom, you have cities and civilization. But anyways, some of these ancient cities would include Uruk, founded in 4500 BC, Jericho between 9000 and 6000 BC for continuous habitation, but it's not consistently under the same name, Ur around 3800 BC, and Eridu in about 5400 BC. And if you don't know any of these cities, I don't blame you. They're very, 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 very old. Now, most of these cities weren't occupied by a constantly growing population, but Ur did reach a population of 65,000 people by 2900 BC. So in 900 years, got about the same population that some suburbs get in a few decades. Which, look, for the time, that's still pretty impressive. But by 650 BC, a bunch of ancient cities were actually abandoned. Why? Well, we don't know for sure, but we're pretty sure it's because of a combination of the Euphrates River starting to retract, which limited farmlands, and also a lot of farmland being eaten up by the cities, causing people to move further afield to get food. Sounds like that whole people moving to cities is good for nature thing kind of just kills the city, doesn't it? Anyways, by the time of the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Chinese, and ancient Mayans, just to name a few civilizations, we'd mostly learned how best to go about urbanization. Meaning these civilizations put a lot more planning into urban development and a lot more focus on sustainability. However, for literally thousands of years, the status quo was that a city would form, it would grow too big for its britches, and then it would collapse or get burned down or invaded, and then get abandoned, and then the process would repeat with a new city. Or people would just start squatting in the old city, and then it would become a new city. That is until the 18th century. Because as we reach this time, due to the agricultural revolution, humanity's urbanization goes from a gradual curve to an exponential one. And by the 19th century, into the Industrial Revolution, more and more people start going into cities for work, which causes a massive boom in urban demographics. In America especially, with major cities like Boston, Philadelphia, and New York, going from large cities to metropolises in less than 80 years. And as cities grew and more land became available, cities expanded into that land and created a crisscrossing of public transit systems. In the US, however, especially, this wasn't necessarily a good thing. As you might aware, America has a history of having some, let's say, negative opinions of people that don't really look the part. And the 1830s to 1860s were especially bad about that, being called the Turbulent Era, where massive numbers of riots and hate crimes were occurring in cities at an alarming and almost uncontrollable rate. Mostly from a combination of close quarters between everyone, and honestly, Americans being Americans, including the racism. But it's not all bad, because at the very least, after the Civil War and killing more Americans than any war ever, we calmed down a bit. And that leads us to the 1880s, when a ton of inventions make life in cities a lot better. Like the invention of an implementation of electric lights in 1882, skyscrapers in 1885, with the first built in Chicago, and the electric trolley being developed in 1887, mostly in San Francisco. And 10 years later, and 10 years after that, cities like New York and Boston develop subway systems, and in 1900, telephones become more viable and become a staple of cities. And while the rest of the world was recovering from World War I, American cities kept growing, with the majority of Americans living in urban areas by the middle of the 20s, which only explodes more after World War II, which actually occurs worldwide, with the world adapting mass urbanization, including pushing other nations still recovering from being colonized into modernization attempts. And as of 2007, more than half of all humans on Earth are city dwellers. Which brings us to today. So let's talk about the current. Now, in the year of our Lord, 2025, there are currently 4.61 billion people in the world that live in urban areas, roughly 57.25% of all humans. And broken down by income brackets, 81% of all people in high-income countries, 69%, nice, and upper-middle-class income, in upper-middle-income countries, 54% in middle-income countries, 41% in lower-middle, and 35% in low-income countries all live in cities. And for the good old US of A, we're at 85.8% of all Americans living in cities nowadays. Which is impressive, sure, but remember that every country defines what they call urban by themselves. So like, China requires 100,000 people per square mile, but the US is just 2,500. But if you harmonize and average the systems together, maybe throw it back and reverse it a bit, we can get some consistent stats. For the purposes of this, we're going to say that a city is 50k or more people, with a population density of 1.5k people per kilometer. Towns are groups of 5k people with a population density of 300 people per kilometer, and villages are anything less than 5,000 people. Taking all of that into account, the continent with the highest population living in cities is South America, with 57.38% of all people living in cities. Which, comparing that to the rest of the world, that's a crazy amount. Asia has the highest number of towns at 38.71%, and Oceania has the most villages at 29.01%. Also, no continent goes below 40% of the population living in cities, with the lowest being Africa at 40%, which is still insanely urban, especially compared to most of human history. Now, unfortunately, living standards worldwide is where cities fail. A quarter of all people living in urban areas are in slums, with most being in South Sudan, where a fucking astronomical 94.2% of all urban livers live in slums. But the highest number of total people living in slums is in India, with 240 million people. Although that's about 41.45% of urban residents. Still high, but less than 94%. Of course, we should also recognize some countries that have done very well in this realm, having 0% slums. And that would be Andorra, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Gibraltar, Iceland, Israel, Kuwait, Monaco, Oman, Netherlands, Aruba, New Zealand, Belgium, Norway, Switzerland, and Macau. Notably, America isn't in that list, and that's because we have 0.09% of all urban people living in slums, which is about 23,760 Americans living in slums, which, I will say, that's a very big amount of people. Comparatively to the population of the U.S., that is almost nothing. Should we be working on that, though? Yes. Yes, we should. Also, worldwide, only 64.8% of cities have access to proper sanitation, 81.8% have water access, and 88.9% have access to green energy that isn't giving them cancer. And don't worry, American nationalists, we aren't doing that bad. Yet. We're above 97% for all of that, which, combined with our GDP per capita for city slickers of $58,487, puts us at number 8 in the world for the highest density richest cities. Which, if you look at the state of American cities, that's not comforting. But now let's switch gears and talk about some details on American cities. Now, let's start with some demos and divides. Since there isn't really a gender or age gap in cities, we're going to focus on politics and race. And, oh boy, the thing everyone likes to talk about. So, in urban areas, 44% of people on average are white and 56% are non-white. And if you want more detail on that, good luck. Because for some fucking reason, the US Census records only records that nationally and then breaks it down city by city for like specifics on race, which is not helpful for something like this. That's in fact the opposite of helpful. But politically, cities lean very left, with 62% of urban residents voting left and 31% voting right. Now, like we talked about in the suburbs episode, people in urban spaces tend to feel like people don't understand their issues, with about 65% of people believing people in suburbs and rural areas don't understand their problems. And sure, we don't know the details, but as someone who now lives in a, comparatively to where I used to live, massive suburb of a titanic suburb of a major US city, I sure fucking understand the broad strokes, you dickheads. Now, urban people don't generally believe in other community types having different values, with other urban people it's about 65% of the same values, 52% with suburban people, and 46% with rural people. Which, in my opinion, is actually a lot better than the other two types, because suburbanites really only think other suburbanites have the same values. Same with rural residents. So urban people are more willing to assume everyone is on the same page, or are arrogant enough to assume everyone's on the same page. Now for the residency information. About 45% of people living in urban environments have lived there for over a decade and tend to be generally attached, with 60% of people feeling an attachment to the city. Stockholm syndrome, in my opinion, but hey. Also, while very few urbanites would move, of those who would, 41% would choose a suburb. But okay, let's talk about how to fix the issues we mentioned with cities earlier. Because while in the suburbs episode when we talked about them, it turned out that they were just things that would be nice to have. With cities, however, they need to have their shit fixed. So how do we do that? Well, we break it down first into five general categories: sustainable urban planning, inclusive development, environmental protection, community engagement and education, and climate change. So to address sustainable urban planning, we first of all need to make sure there's diverse housing options available to prevent overcrowding and accommodate people of various income levels. That way we get rid of slums, prevent creating a good side and bad side of town, and reduce overcrowding. Because then you can distribute housing across the city and having a variety of costs across different areas instead of just high and low income lets people live in a place that's appropriate for their income bracket. Secondly, make sure the public transit is up to handling the number of people. It needs to be easily accessible from basically anywhere people need to access it and be efficient. And I don't mean American efficient, I mean like European or Japanese efficient, where the train is more than 3 minutes late, the conductor commits ritual suicide in the boarding zone as an apology to the gods. Having a robust public transit like this would massively reduce pollution, congestion, and traffic accidents. And added onto that, would make it much easier to design a city that's pedestrian and bike friendly. And finally, for this category, having green infrastructure like urban forests, parks and rooftop gardens would massively improve air quality, reduce the heat island effect, and just generally make everyone happier. Because believe it or not, humans need to see plants sometimes, not go fucking insane. Which is something I do appreciate about living in Oregon, by the way. For inclusive development, which is making sure everyone involved in growing the city, there's three things to do. First, promote the creation of jobs and economic development that gives everyone at all levels work. Which shouldn't be that hard, but somehow we keep making cities where the only available jobs are in the skyscrapers and require a degree that doesn't relate to the job at all. The second, make sure you involve the communities that are there in decision-making and make sure their priorities are met. Especially marginalized communities, because, let's be fair, they've had it hard enough already. And finally, make sure to promote and address inequalities and promote social equity. Everyone, especially vulnerable populations, should have access to resources, services, and opportunities and are provided for and protected. Which, all of this sounds vague, but that's because I have no idea how to do any of that because I don't know social justice science. I have a bachelor's in English literature. For something that's easier to wrap my head around is environmental protection. We need to implement better waste management systems, especially for sewers and trash, which we've already had full episodes on, so do those things. And it would especially help if we had more recycling, composting, and reuse to minimize the impact of garbage and to encourage living less wastefully. Which I know isn't always controllable by individuals, but we should still be trying a bit harder. Now we should also be boosting water treatment, more efficient electricity generation and efficiency policies, promote the use of clean energy, and design cities to be less reliant on vehicles. And of course, finally, conserving energy, especially water and electricity. Community engagement and education is a lot shorter, same with the climate change stuff. For those, we need to be increasing public awareness of the negative impacts of urbanization and how necessary it is to be sustainable and try to live waste-free. We also need to make sure that people are prepared to work in cities through skill development programs, and also, you know, making sure those things are accurately advertised. For climate change, we gotta get a handle on land usage and green infrastructure. And since we can't turn back the clock on climate change at this point, also make cities more resilient to the climate change effects and extreme weather. But yeah, with that, we're at the end of the episode. So let's get out of here. Alrighty, well, we have an episode kind of like Suburbia, which is fitting. Basically just telling you that things aren't as bad as you think, but are still pretty fucking awful. Anyways, if you have opinions, advice on how to make the show better, which city you think is best and why its dirty streets are better than any other dirty streets in the nation, your opinions, and really anything else you want to tell me, make sure to email me at waytappods@gmail.com. That's waytappods@gmail.com. Remember to check out my other podcast, Waytad Nerd, where you basically the same thing with nerd topics like fantasy, sci-fi, role-playing games, etc., where I hope you like the topics just as much. And also remember to follow me on Twitter at waytat_pods for more episode announcements. Have a good night, don't murder, have fun, and remember, the Mouse Utopia experiment doesn't apply to humans nearly as well as you think it does. This has been Why Are You Talking About This, and I've been your host, William. Good night.